Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here as we learned all these lessons on leadership and as we join together from around the world. With me in the studio today is my friend Brian Souter. Brian, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Good to have you back. We're going to talk today about conflict resolution. Just recently, I was in another country and just taking a couple hours with leaders from a couple of different nations who had some major conflict. And it was beautiful because after a couple hours, it was resolved. There was forgiveness. There was tears. But there was a path forward. It was awesome. And so we need to really learn, I think, as Christians, as business leaders, as, you know, church leaders, ministry leaders, in our families, how do we resolve conflict in a healthy way? So we're going to talk about that here today. Of course, Brian, you head up our leadership school. We talk about this quite a bit in our leadership school.
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, Brian, you serve in the Dove International Apostolic Council for many, many years. We've worked together for a while, getting close to 40 years. That's crazy.
Yeah, amazing. All
been,
good.
Been great. And also, you serve with Dove Canada and so many other areas and giving leadership there. But we all in life deal with conflict. So why, Brian, is conflict so difficult?
Well, if we don't have conflict, it means that we're not around people. It means we're on a desert island with a bottle, looking for a way, you know, trying putting a note in a bottle, trying to find a way forward to get rescued. Because life, you know, conflict will and does exist. And I think the thing about it is if we can ignore it or deal with it.
Right.
And you know, if we ignore it, these unresolved conflicts tend to become worse. And even things that could be easily resolved, they build up and they build up and build up. And then, bam, there's a big explosion. And the whole thing was way more complicated and way more hurtful or painful even than what it had to be, because these small conflicts were not resolved. It's kind of like the Cold War in, you know, in the 80s, there was a Cold War between the East and the West, and it meant they were not talking. They were in conflict and doing their own thing. And so, but we find that you can be, these Cold Wars can be going on in a workplace, in a marriage, in a household, and children and their parents, and a lot, because we ask sometimes, do people enjoy conflict? And a few people do, but most do not. I know I do not, but I know that my relationships will suffer.
Right.
The success of my organizations, our school, if we don't approach and deal with conflict appropriately, then it's, we're going to suffer, and our results and what the things we're putting our hands to are going to suffer in if conflict is not dealt with.
Okay, well, you've teaching this a lot. I mean, you obviously, you have a seminar that you can do for people. You know, you just some time back up in Canada and just doing a whole seminar on this. You can do it by Zoom, in that case, by Zoom, or
it was
live.
Funny,
That was closer to pandemic days when we had to do that. But what as you've walked through this and if you studied this and if you taught this, what are some of the causes of conflict that you see?
Well, I mean, literally, God made people uniquely, and it's God who made people unique. And so there's going to be different opinions, and if we manage those opinions well, then that's going to be fruitful. It's going to help us to bear fruit in our lives. In my master's program, I learned about emotional intelligence.
Right.
And really, the Bible just calls it character.
Like, yeah, you know, that's right.
God had it first before, you know, these leadership management programs came along and coined the term emotional intelligence. But it's the ability to control your emotions in situations and not react in anger, not react out of insecurity, not react out of hurt, and throttle those things back to be able to manage your way through and gain control in situations and gain effective control. And also, we'll look at this going forward, but like the idea of being self-aware. Right, like what do I want to learn and what do I need to learn? You know, maybe I'm the cause for the conflict and it's not the other person. Because of course we all the time think that it's the other person and, you know, and so forth. And there's one of the things that we teach is out of this book called Crucial Conversations that was put together and is very helpful. And so when bad communication leads to conflict, and so they in this book, they list this out. There is what you think you said. There is what you actually said. There is what the other person hears. And there is what the other person thinks they hear.
Wow.
Then there's what the other person says about what you said. And then there's what you think the other person said about what you said. And all of these, you know, you can just imagine how much of a train wreck a conversation can become if things aren't clarified, if things aren't like, did you say that? Or is that what you meant?
Right.
Or here's how I took that. And then on top of that, you have communication processes. So there's the tone of the conversation, which again, from Crucial Conversations is 38% of the message. The words, only 7% of the message. And the nonverbals, 55% comes through your arms, expression on your face,
You're
nodding, your posture and whether you're leaning back, have your arms crossed, whatever. And, which I notice you have your arms crossed right now, Larry. So hopefully
there's no conflict.
Conflict. You're not defending.
Hopefully you're not feeling
attacked by this guy. Okay. You're probably just cold in the room here. So no problem. Anyway, but then think about those things. If 7% of the conversation is communicated through words. Now we're texting. Now we're instant messaging. We're Facebook messaging. Now we're emailing.
Yep.
I remember one time I was emailing somebody and we were going back and forth about a particular issue, and he was, blah, 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 and he hit send, and then he, back to me, and I'm like, oh, yeah, well, blah, 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 and blah, 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 and I hit send, and then, so we're going back and forth on this issue, a coworker I was with, and we're discussing this issue, and then I got an email, back and forth, and we're disagreeing, and we're kind of getting a little dicey, and then somehow mistakenly, I think it was the devil, but probably just my own stupidity, I mistakenly somehow hit my all caps button. So somewhere in the middle of one of my responses, my response went into all caps. It was not intentional, I'm sure you. And now I'm going all caps for the rest of my response to his response. And then he types back and says, when it's all caps, does that mean you're yelling? I'm like, oh no, sorry. Let's get together for coffee and talk about this. Let's get together face to face and really, kind of talk through this thing and resolve that. And so to give more thought on the causes of conflict, we have different people with different spiritual gifts.
Right.
We have 7 motivational gifts.
Yeah.
We have some are servers, some are teachers, some are encouragers, some are motivated by mercy.
Yeah, we see it from different perspectives.
Yeah. So one person goes to visit somebody in the hospital and they're like, hey, here's 5 things, that if you follow these things, you'll be out of here in no time. That's the teacher. Another person might be the server. They'll go in and like, hey, can I get you anything? Can I rearrange the table? Can I bring your food over closer?
Sure.
And so we have different spiritual gifts, this motivational gifts, the 5-fold gifts. We see things. The prophet sees things differently than the teacher does.
Right.
And that all of that can create tension. And on top of that, we have different passions. Like in the church world, some are passionate about the poor and helping the poor. Others are just passionate about evangelism. And others are more passionate about, youth or marriage and whatnot. So we have different passions, which give us different perspectives. We have different values, and this, kind of goes back to values that are based on the scripture. One person says, I don't want to celebrate Christmas because I think it's a pagan holiday. And another person says, hey, I love celebrating Christmas. We talk about Christ and celebrate Jesus and so forth. So it's a different value decision that people have. So values and on top of that, and somewhat related, is there's different personalities. We have all oftentimes heard that a reason for conflict is personality differences, and that's absolutely true. And we teach about that kind of stuff. Also, conflict can come because a person is wounded.
Hi, Larry Kreider here. Before we continue with the episode, I want to announce my new segment, Ask Larry. It premieres in season 3 of the podcast. I want to hear from you. Starting next season, I'll be answering your leadership questions and covering the leadership topics that you want to hear about. To submit your questions, visit the show notes and click the link below. And as always, thank you for listening. Now, let's get back to the episode.
So if you're wounded, you've been wounded emotionally or spiritually, it can cause you to have a propensity to be wounded more and to put up guards and around yourself. So if one of the two parties is in a place of needing to be healed, they can react and they can lash out and become defensive. We also talk different times about the team profile and role preferences. So we might have somebody who's a designer and they're going to be in conflict with somebody who's in a stable phase. And so this can lead to conflict as well. There's spiritual immaturity versus spiritual maturity. There's just the humanity of people. James 5, it talks about Elijah was a man like us. I love that scripture because I think that means that he got mad. He got tired. He was like a man like us, and yet God used him. Yeah. And so all of us have bad days. So that that also feeds into our potential conflict. I like to say sometimes there's spiritual deception, which allows pride.
Sure.
I think pride can be a big reason for conflict, or in where conflicts need to be resolved. Also, kind of a different take on the hurt, but also an orphan spirit can really pervert relationships and communication. If one of the parties, or maybe even both parties, are seeking approval, that's like the basis of all their communication. It taints things, and we get into conflict because of that. And then I think also just straight up, it's the devil. Our enemy would love to bring conflict in the church, in our homes, in our businesses, in our organizations where we're leading and whatnot. Going back to that all caps thing, I did not try that. But somehow that all caps button got hit. And, John 10:10 says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so that's his job. And he's destroying and stealing us in relationships by causing conflict. Yeah.
But Jesus came to bring life.
Yeah. Amen. Right on. Yeah, for sure.
Well, in light of these, all these causes of conflicts, what is a biblical response to conflict?
Yeah, there's a couple things I would mention as we've been studying and compiling these things here, and also from my life experiences, is that we have to have an eternal perspective.
Okay.
Like if I'm a Christian and I have a major conflict with another Christian, I have to get used to the idea that I'm going to be in heaven with them forever.
That's a good point.
And I'm going to see them again. And so I might, the thing that I said behind their back to my wife or whatnot, they're going to hear that sometime or be aware of that, and probably at that point they won't care. But I think that eternal perspective is that we have to have an eternal perspective. Mm-hmm. And that person is my brother, and I'm going to see them in heaven. Of course, James 4 talks about treating all people well because they're God's creation.
Right.
So a person might be very much different than me, might totally disagree with me on an issue, whether it's politics or whether it's theology. And yet I have to be aware that they are God's creation.
That's
he
good.
Loves them. They are his child.
Yes.
And that if I back up to that, that gives me a better perspective in dealing with the conflict. Of course, humility. The more mature person, when the Bible teaches on humility, the more mature person defers to the less mature.
Mm-hmm.
So we have in Matthew 7:35, this great scripture, which we don't read enough. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? So, I mean, the Bible teaches us about these things that we need to see and own our stuff and see what we can change. And we can seek maybe throttle back what we think's important and overemphasize listening to what the other person understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
So there's a great phrase, I think it comes from Steve Covey in his 7 Habits. Of course, it's in the Bible first in Proverbs 18. But he says that seek to understand rather than to be understood.
Oh, I love that.
And Proverbs 18 says, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. So the proverb says you're foolish if you just push your own opinions rather than really trying to listen to what other people are saying. And we all have our own self stories. They go, our self stories are a take on the facts So we have to be aware, Larry, like maybe the facts are on the table between us.
Right.
And you, I have a view of those facts and you have a view of those facts. And we're maybe not objective into that. And maybe a hurt that I experienced or, you know, my spiritual gifts might cause me to look at those facts differently. And it helps us to be aware of our own self stories. And we have these scriptures talk about being quick to hear, slow to speak. Are we really listening? Proverbs 15, a gentle, soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. And so all of these, you know, all of these things are like this is the more like the biblical response. Like, what does the Bible say?
Right.
And I think we have to start with ourselves even before we start talking.
Correct.
You know, we've had many situations where I've been, the one thing was that you know I'm aware of, and I'll just share with our listeners here as well, was when I was, I've had lots of opportunity for conflict in my life.
Yeah.
And one of the things, I was elected to the school or public school board in our community for a number of 9 years total, 2 years as the board president. And there was one situation where we had a big blow up, a controversy in our community, too much time to go in all the details.
I remember it was in front page of the newspaper.
I remember. So forgiveness is a part of this too.
That's like, right.
Because I had to, you know, at one point on front page of the newspaper, not a favorable coverage, and then letters to the editor, Mr. Souder, you should resign from the school board. And I'm like, wow, how does this work? Like, I didn't sign up for this, God, when I just want to be a public servant and bring the kingdom into our public schools and whatnot. And then one day in my office, I sat down. And I was just prompted by the Lord. I just started to write down a list of names, almost 20 different names of people. I mean, parents, newspaper reporters, principals, different people in the community and whatnot. And I went through all those names and I forgave each one.
It's good. So good.
I just went through one by one I forgave each one. And as I did that, I was get free. I got set free. And so from that day forward, then I had a different outlook on things.
Good.
And it actually unfolded. And long story short, you know, a year later, everybody who was eventually threw me out as the board president, they all reelected me and were the biggest fans of Brian Souder. I'm like, you can't make this stuff
up.
But that key was that day was when I forgave each one of those people who had really, in my opinion, treated me wrong, at least, and, you know, and so forth. And so it came back to me just being self-aware. Like, the humble thing for me to do was to choose to forgive them, and then it changed me.
Yeah.
And then we could then, and all those relationships over time, I see some of those same people on the street today. You know, I can talk to them and, you know, be congenial and so forth, and not try to hide, you know, whatnot. So.
Well, why don't we take the next step and get in some practical steps to resolving conflict?
Sure.
Like, how do we do that? I mean, we've often heard the saying that there's three sides to every story.
Correct.
It's your side. It's my side and the truth. Like you said, in the middle of the table, there's the truth. And we all see it from our perspective. But there are steps we can take, biblical steps we can take, whether it's conflict in marriage and family, whether it's in business or job, church, ministry, you know, the school board, you know, whatever.
Sure.
There are practical steps we can take. So could we talk about some of those steps?
Sure. And I have 6 steps to deal with conflict. And I believe these are your steps. I believe these came from
my book, 21 Tests of Leadership.
The book, 21 Tests of Leadership, where there's some very effective things in there having to do with comparison and the different of the tests.
Right.
Our character tests that have to do with our keys to resolving conflict, which we'll see how much of that we get to cover here. But these 6 steps are, number one, gain agreement that there's a problem.
Right.
Because sometimes it's all your problem and you're mad at this other person and they don't even know that they offended you at all, like, or there's anything wrong. And they're like, really? And you're staying awake at night thinking about this, and the other person is sleeping great because, you know, so first, number one, gain agreement that there's a problem. We do need to meet and talk through this, you know. Number two, identify the consequences up front. So if that's a marriage, if we don't have set a time to decide to talk about this, hey, that's going to affect our children.
Yep.
It's going to affect our extended family and, you know, whatever the situation is. If it's a church, if there's a conflict in church leadership, we identify the consequences. consequences. If we don't resolve this, it's going to lead to division and disunity and strife. And so you identify the consequences
up front. We can't put our heads in the sand. You know, we simply cannot. We need to see, in reality, if we do not deal with the conflict properly, it's going to cause huge repercussions, huge problems, and we can just we can negate that by dealing with it in a proper way.
Yeah.
And that's what you're talking about here.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I love the biblical example, since you brought that up, of Esther. Like, if we ignore a problem, we kind of, our tendency would be to not deal with conflict, because nobody likes conflict.
Sure.
And so if we ignore it, thinking that it's going to go away, you know, so I'm thinking that then that's going to create a bigger problem where it might be simply resolved. So I'm thinking of the biblical account of Esther, and was her uncle Mordecai, right? And he's saying, like, I'm not sure what decision process she was in, but he's saying, like, hey, if you don't step up and do this, like, and maybe it wasn't totally clear that she should do this, or she was just maybe, you know, evaluating the risk or whatnot, which was risk, great risk to her personally. But, like, he's saying, this problem is not going to go away if you don't deal with it. And he did say, well, God will bring resolution another way. But the issue was that we cannot, like, just assume that things are going to get better on their own.
Correct.
And, you know, if somebody has a cut and a wound is festering, if it's not cleaned and it's not, there's not antiseptic or you know, the something to guard against infection, then and just cover it and or ignore it, it's not going to go away. It needs to get healed and whatnot. So gain agreement, identify the consequences up front, pray together in faith, and ask for wisdom and solutions. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about a Christian format.
Right.
But just that brings humility into the room. And see, I always like when we pray, we're already entering into humility because we're saying we can't get this done ourselves.
That's good.
And it puts both of us, if you and I pray, it brings us into that place of asking God for wisdom and solutions. Mm-hmm. Number four, mutually agree on some actions. So we both might put some actions out on the table, and maybe we might not agree on all of them, but we might agree on two of them. Let's change these two things. And then definitely you want to set some actions, and then also number five, follow up and measure progress. Like, let's meet again in a week. Let's meet again in a month and see if our actions have brought resolution or if we need to bring more resolution. So again, because if you don't even evaluate, you want to complete the loop to make sure that things are resolved. And number six, if the conflict cannot be resolved after that follow-up, seek help from an objective outside source that you both trust.
Right.
And sometimes it's good just to have an outside person to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can be so convinced about what's right in your own head and your own mind, and you're arguing with somebody about it. But when an objective person listens to you talking about it and you're listening to yourself talk about it, and you're like, this is really stupid. How small of me to be upset over such a small thing. I'm like, man, I'm really embarrassed by what I'm saying now. And the objective person, like, I'm just saying now, like, just there's something about having an outside court of appeal that's objective and can speak in, mutually agreed that you both respect and speak into it, and that person's probably going to say, well, you're both wrong, and here's, you know, blah, 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 and there's something about, again, it's humbling yourself because you're asking for an outside person to help to work through
It could be a person or it could be a few people.
Yeah,
you know,
it sure could
be. The conflict that I helped resolve last week when I was in another nation between leaders of two different nations, it was they did everything they knew to do themselves and they just couldn't find a way forward. So then we were able to have a few of us from the outside come in and help them resolve that conflict. And so we were following those steps.
Exactly. And the important thing you did there is you didn't brush the conflict under the rug.
Right.
Maybe it'll be better in 6 months. Maybe it'll be better in a year.
No,
well,
we couldn't do that.
Probably not. Probably it's going to be far worse. And one of the things that, you know, really you had to have a crucial conversation.
Correct.
You brought those parties together and you actually brought the issue to the forefront. Like, you guys are in conflict and we need to, you know, for the good of your churches, for the good of the body of Christ in those nations, we needed to work through that. So I have a couple of how do you start that conversation?
Yeah, I like it.
So these are things that you personally can say to start that conversation. Like, you see a lot of things correctly, but blah, 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 blah. Here's something I don't think you see. I am wrong a lot, so I might be wrong about this, but here's my concern, X, Y, and Z.
It's good.
You have some unique life experiences that I do not have, so it is understandable that you see things differently than me.
That's good.
So it's coming from a place of humility. Maybe they probably do see something that maybe that I don't see, and that's the beauty of the whole thing. I'm a natural peacemaker who likes to avoid conflict, but I have strong feelings about this. So just ways to kind of bring this, like how do you start this awkward, crucial conversation? I was wondering why, you know, you reacted in that way, whatever. Perhaps you are unaware, but when you do this, I feel this. So the key there, perhaps you're unaware. And it's okay to say, in my opinion, this is my opinion, I see this, this, and this. And those are just kind of some conversational starters. So just, I'm a very practical person. And so, like, I always like those practical keys and those practical things that work things out.
Talk to us about what are often called conflict styles. You know, we each have our own conflict style. And talk to us about that, Brian.
Yeah, and I think that this is super key for each of us to understand our own conflict style. So there's many things that are outside of our control.
Right.
There's many things that we can influence, but there's some, the only things that we control are the things that we have ourselves.
That's
like we
true.
Have, we can make those changes. So we have, I think it's really about becoming aware of our own weaknesses. And so if we have a weakness, and some of these can, you know, going back to our personality, like if you're a very much of an extrovert, high I personality, the greatest weakness, so this is Brian, one of my greatest weaknesses is the fear of rejection.
Right.
So I realized early on that I am prone to feel rejection, even when other people are not rejecting me,
right.
You know, so learning about my personality helped me to understand, become self-aware that I had a propensity to feel rejection even when there was no rejection there.
Got it.
Or I had a propensity, you know, some of my other personalities to be more detailed, and so personality traits. And so, like, I realized that there's differences that are, it goes back to some of the causes of conflict. I see things differently because I have a different perspective because of my personality,
because
of my passions. My wife and I are passionate about youth ministry. And so we're always going to have that bent to us. Like, man, let's reach the next generation, whatever church we're involved in, whatever country we're involved in. Man, let's get younger leaders where let's get the next generation involved. Let's train them. And that's always going to come out. And somebody who's not built that way, they might be looking at like something different, like, you know, hey, well, we need to take care of, you know, the widows, or, you know, something like this. So we do Acts chapter 6, and we set people aside to take care of the widows and feeding the tables and whatnot. And so all that was the conflict. They had conflict in Acts chapter 6. And out of that, the solution was they appointed deacons who could take care of those tasks. And you know, so it was a good resolution. Another thing in understanding your own conflict style is to realize when you're comparing. Because when we compare ourselves with others, we usually compare, or we don't compare up, we compare down. So our tendency is to like compare ourselves to somebody that we think we're doing better than.
And so
we feel more good about ourselves rather than comparing ourselves up, kind of, so to speak. And this is another one of the chapters in your book, 21 Tests of Leadership, of, you know, it could be salary, it could be how well you preach, it could be how well you run a business. We're always comparing ourselves. And so I think if we can pass the comparison test, you have a whole chapter on that. I won't have to go into it all. But if you pass the comparison test, that helps you become self-aware and understand your conflict style and possible conflict that could be coming from that.
Yeah, anyone interested in that book, again, it's Passing the 21 Tests of Leadership. It's on the show notes. You can get that on Amazon or wherever you buy your books, and get it through the Devon International Bookstore. A couple more questions, Brian. We're almost out of time.
Yeah,
this has been so good. How can we prosper in all of our relationships? I mean, that's the heart. That's our heart cry, that we'd have healthy relationships. How do we do that? How can we prosper in relationships in our families, people we work with, our friends, you know, spouses, all of our relationships in church, whatever. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I think understanding our conflict style, being self-aware, looking for the log in our own eye first.
Good.
You know, we all have blind spots. So we have to really throttle back and listen to what others are saying, even saying about you.
Right.
And our friend Rick Joyner likes to say, I think I'm quoting him correctly. If somebody criticizes you, there might be 99% that's bogus, but there might be 1% that is true.
Yep.
And so we would posture ourselves to always be in that place of understanding what is true and making the correction that we can make when we're in a situation where there's criticism and that helps us to prosper. And it's interesting because, you know, I'd say, how do we prosper in all of our relationships? Number one, relax. It's okay. Agree to disagree. It is all right to have, you know, hey, you might like Mexican food and I might like, you know, American food, American pub food or whatever. And it's okay for each of us to disagree and have preferences and just to get used to that idea that everybody's doesn't have to agree and everybody's not meant to work together even, you know.
Exactly.
We might work together for a time, but for another time we have because, you know, we are disagreeing. God could change you. He could change me. He could change the situation, you know. And I was in a situation recently where two of us were planning an event that was going to be outdoors. And I forget all the details now, but we were planning an event that was going to be outdoors and we were doing it together. It was a ministry event. And we had strongly disagreed and had a break in the relationship as we were preparing for this outdoor event. Like, it was so important that we do it this way. It was so important to them that they do it that we do it that way, and we were like arguing back and forth, and you know, blah blah blah, and I'm like, well, I don't think, and then somehow we met in between, or we got the thing planned, and then on the day of the event, it rained, and the event was canceled. So we had all that emotional energy going into this big argument, losing our peace, and you know, criticizing the other person and their ideas, and it's just like, okay, relax, all right, just relax and realize that maybe it's not that important, and God could change one of us, or God could rain that day. We might not, you know, and we're like, wow, that was a big, you know, loss for all of us because we, you know, we had this big disagreement about that. And you know, so I think we'll prosper if we're aware of being just relaxed. I think we'll prosper if we keep a long-term perspective.
Sure.
And we'll prosper. I mean, even, you know, the Bible says that the Lord will defend us. And so even sometimes words are spoken about us, there's criticisms about us and whatnot, and we have to let the Lord defend us. And there's other times where it is appropriate for us to set boundaries. We'll prosper in our relationships when we set boundaries. And there's a scripture here I want to read because this is it's so good. We have to understand what our battles are.
Yeah.
So for us to prosper in our relationships, I love this in Proverbs 26:17. Like one who grabs a stray dog by the ears is someone who rushes into a quarrel, not their own.
Right.
Listen to what's being said there. One who grabs a stray dog by the ears, you're going to get bit or snarled, is someone who rushes into a quarrel, not their own.
Yeah.
And I think so many times people try to take responsibility for something that's not their responsibility. They have an opinion about everything, so they end up in conflict.
Yeah.
But they're not a part of the solution.
Yeah.
You know, they're not a part even of the problem. And we teach many times about fields of ministry where we have responsibility in certain fields. We do this in our training schools and a lot of them are materials and books. And so for us to really prosper in all of our relationships, we have to be aware what is in our field.
Right.
So my husband and wife, yes, that is their field, their children, they need to. But if it's their neighbor's marriage, like, they could get in trouble if they start intervening in their neighbor's marriage and taking sides, and that's not their field. Unless their neighbors invite them in, then maybe it becomes their field of ministry, and there's opportunity there.
I think that's
a big deal.
Yeah, I think the other thing we've learned over the years is that life is too short. You know, if you're having conflict again and again and again with the same people, maybe whether it's a job or church or whatever, life's too short. You know, there's times it's okay to part ways.
Mm-hmm.
You part ways with forgiveness and blessing. You bless each other. But sometimes the same people working together, if there's constantly conflict, life's too short, man. Let's have fun. You know?
Yeah.
Let's allow the Lord to bring blessing as we see his kingdom built in two different areas rather than having to do it all in one. Last question.
Yep.
How can we prevent conflict?
Well, I think, you know, we avoid conflict by having crucial conversations when we need to. We avoid conflict by understanding our own weaknesses. Yeah. We avoid conflict by avoiding battles that are not our own. I think also we avoid conflict, but just understanding you're not close to everybody. Not right. everybody exactly. is your best friend.
Exactly.
And you don't have to be everybody's best friend.
Right.
Some people are closer than others.
Right.
Relationships change over
so
the
good.
Years. People change jobs. They change careers. They change churches. And, you know, just relax and let God sort out some of those details. And you know, I think we have to, you know, do we value relationship over being right? Like, we can have the right answer but ruin the relationship because
right.
the way we handled
right.
the relationship or mm-hmm. handled the conflict, and a person can walk away angry, but we won because we had the right answer, but you know, now that relationship is broken. So of what value, what is more valuable, the relationship or us being right, which really comes back to a humility perspective.
Exactly.
And so we have to be aware of our stories, tell the facts and not our story, ask for and understand the other person's perspective,
mm-hmm.
and this all will help us to
exactly.
to have victory and prevent conflicts in our relationships. So
thank you, Brian Souter. Resolving Conflict, a lot of meat in there. It's so good. A lot more. You can pick up the book, The Passing the 21 Tests of Leadership, and check out the Leadership School if you have more interest in learning more about these things. Go through our Leadership School. Wherever you are in the world, you can go through our Leadership School because it's online. And so, Brian Souter, thank you, man. So
great to be here.
Today. So good.
Glad, yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Learning together all these areas of how to resolve conflict. And we'll never be conflict-free, but
correct.
We can be in conflict victory
yeah.
because of handling it in a proper godly
mm-hmm.
way.
Amen. Right. Absolutely
thank you,
true.
Brian. God bless you, man. And everyone, thank you for joining us today from around the world. And we'll see you back again of the Larry Crider Leadership Podcast. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.